Welcome to Talking Giants presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick. This is usually one of my, most favorite episodes of the year. And I'm still going to have fun and have enjoyed getting ready for it and doing it. But it's not as fun, Justin, because usually we do offensive undrafted free agents and defensive undrafted free agents. Like last year, they had 16 undrafted free agents. Like almost every year, you have to split them into two or the episode will be too long. And this year we have three in total.
Bummer.
It really is. Like, I guess this kind of happens when you've been adding new pieces to a team with the same regime for, 3 years, where it's like you kind of got the guys you want in there through 3 years. And I also thought this would happen because of COVID last year, where those guys didn't really get a shot. Training camp was very short. They didn't get a preseason to shine in front of, fans. I actually kind of thought that would happen. So out of the 16 last year, five are still in the roster with Austin Mack, Kyle Murphy, Nico Lelos, Rice and John. They actually brought back, even though he wasn't on the team for the majority of last year. And then Derek Dillon is on the team.
Yeah, they also signed a bunch of guys to those futures deals earlier in the offseason. I guess some of those guys are actually worth maybe going back and maybe taking a look at because there was just so many of them and because there was not a lot of undrafted free agent moves and there was a lot of those moves. And I think Dave Gettleman and they might have referenced this. There just wasn't a ton of information available on these guys, whether it's because they opted out of the 2020 season. I think the Giants mostly took guys that played the 2020 season or didn't opt out, because Ellerson Smith is the one exception, but he didn't opt out, but it's just because his conference school that he played for, they just didn't play football. So they wanted guys that largely played the 2020 season, and all these undrafted free agents, they played their 2020 season. One of our guys even transferred schools. He was a graduate transfer, and he went from UCLA to Baylor. So Bobby Skinner, it's been nice the last couple days, I will say. I actually got home from work, my day job, and I laid on the couch, which I have not done that in weeks. I just laid on the couch, I caught up on some TV shows, and I relaxed and I took a breath, and I was happy.
All gas, no breaks, baby! No, I get that, where it's like, okay, I just need to do the one breakdown of a player a day. So it has been a little nicer. But we don't have a lot of undrafted free agents. What we do have, Justin, is a lot of Patreons. We have a lot of new Patreons. We didn't announce them on the last two episodes. Our bad. We just had a lot to get to and forgot about it. Their names. We got Martin Gendron. Martin Gendron. He's got a bear as his picture catching a fish in the falls. How about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Love that.
Gigantor 1024. Now, I get that, you may want to stay anonymous, but it really does suck when you stay anonymous on Patreon, because then I have to write an envelope to Talking Giants Patreon.
You can't just write Gigantor 1024?
No, I should. No? I should.
Doesn't work in the mail like that?
We got Matty Coco. He loves the Coco.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Baseman. Slip in a bass. I love Hank Mardukas. Steven
Lowe.
You say these
references and 85% of the time, I don't get them.
Well, kids these damn days. Am I right, listeners?
I am. I am an uncultured swine.
Stephen Lowe, a good friend of Curtis Lowe. Do you know Curtis
Sure.
Lowe?
I know Rob Lowe. Familiar with
I'm
him.
I'm going to shoot you in the mouth. Zach Thompson. let's see. Any Thompsons? There was a
Darian. Good friend.
Darian Thompson. Hey, that was a guy who was like, hey, we'd rather just get our undrafted free agents because they're undrafted, because we brought them in, than, someone who might be able to contribute more than Curtis Riley. Alex Mark Antonio. Mark Antonio can be its own name in its own right. You know what? Speaking of Antonio, I watched Scarface talk about we've slowed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any TV or movies the last month
speaking
and a half.
Speaking of Coco,
I watched Scarface for the first time. Very good movie. Who's a bad guy? Paul Gulio. Mm. I don't have any jokes for that one. Brendan Scott, just bland name. Donnelly. Ryan Donnelly. He was in our YouTube live stream. I'm almost guaranteed that this is a Ryan Connolly burner account, which kind of funny that the Vikings take Ryan Connolly and then they took Chad Surratt. It's like, yeah, we got the same taste in linebackers. Then they got Wyatt Davis, so it evened out. Andrew Christopher. Hi, Andrew. Alex Casanova. He's a Cowboy Casanova. Devin Weir. It's W-E-I-R. Just change your last name to Weird, dude. Like, don't be weird about it. Change. And then we'll finish it off with Carlos Allende. Even though, so the last two episodes where we've done Patreons have been finished with Carlos. It's Carlos Allende and Carlson Phillips.
Really?
All right, Justin, we just spent like 20 minutes on Patreons. There's a lot of them. How did they get here?
So I would love to continue this trend of Carloses. That would be great. So all these Carloses, they went to patreon.com/talkinggiants. And for $2 a month, you get some fun perks. And you support us too, but the fun perks include you get to watch us. You get to watch Bobby Skinner's face and my face as we talk about the Giants, like, live, as it's happening, instead of waiting on YouTube or waiting on the podcast app. Bobby also will send you a magnet. He will contact you. He will say, what is your address? I will send you something. He will send you a magnet. And then also, twice a month, we have a free shirt raffle. So you have a chance to win that, too. And Patreon.com/TalkingGiants.
Now that we got the off season, you know, sometimes I prank call Lance Meadow on his, you know, SiriusXM radio show. And yes, I'll only play that for the Patreons after the show. So that's, you know, now that the off season is really here, because, you know, the first 4 months really aren't an off season for the NFL. That's when we start having a little more fun. I have to put a magnet on a cop car soon. So we'll see if that happens. All right, Justin, we're going to talk about the undrafted free agents. But a topic I want to talk about, since there's only three, we didn't want to make this episode only 25 minutes long, is O'Shane Zimenez. O'Shane Zimenez, his name has been hot in the streets because the Giants' edge room is filled to the brim right now. I mean, let's go through it. Azeez Ojulari, he's a lock for the roster. Ellerson Smith, even if he's not the best player, even if he's like the fifth or sixth best edge, he's making the roster. He had a fourth-round pick investment. I would be blown away if they, you know, if they moved on. I think they've always viewed him as a project regardless. So that's two guarantees. Lorenzo Carter is probably a guarantee, right?
Yes.
So I would say those are the three guarantees to make this roster. After that, you have Ryan Anderson. You got O'Shane Zimenez. You got Carter Coughlin and Cam Brown. So that's seven players at that outside linebacker spot where you can make a case for every single one of them. Even Cam Brown, who's like, you know, I don't think we have any expectations for him playing defense. He played the second most special team snaps on the team last year. And we know that that is important to this coaching staff. Carter Coughlin, like, they use him at the end of the season when guys were hurt and they're, you know, they flashed a little bit of potential. Ryan Anderson was just brought in as a free agent, you know, Alabama connection. I didn't realize he had 8.5 sacks his last year at Alabama. And then the other, you know, Lorenzo, Azeez, and Ellerson we view as locks. So O'Shane Zimenez has kind of been the odd man out as far as the fan base, you know. As you know, we're talking about our new players, our new teams, what happens. O'Shane has been the odd man out. And I would say, slow your roll a little bit. Have a little hope for O'Shane Zimenez, you know. O'Shane Zimenez was in the very same shoes that Ellerson Smith was in 2 years ago, where he was this new prospect. And honestly, the shoulder injury is what screwed O'Shane. Now, he wasn't playing great before that, but he wasn't playing bad. But let's go through. He's 24 years old right now. His rookie season, he only played 45% of the snaps. He had 4.5 sacks. That was second on the team. Now, that's not a lot, but still, it was second on the team to Marcus Golden, was tied with Lorenzo Carter. Had 5 tackles for a loss. That was fourth on the team. One behind Lorenzo Carter, who played a lot of reps that season. And let's talk about why they drafted him in the third round. And I do view him, like, coming out of college as a better prospect than Ellerson Smith. 32.5 sacks, 51 tackles for a loss at Old Dominion. And I get it was Old Dominion, but they played Division I talent, you know. And let's go through his senior year. He had 11.5 sacks, 18 tackles for a loss. Versus Virginia Tech, 2 sacks, 2.5 tackles for a loss. FIU, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss. FAU, 1 sack, 2 tackles for a loss. So, again, those aren't blue chip programs, but they are good. Like, you know, they're not like playing in the FCS. You know, it's not like Ellerson Smith playing against the competition that he plays. Like, it's what Ellerson Smith plays against is a severe drop below what O'Shane Zimenez played. You know, and he wasn't a guy in college who beat up on Virginia Military Institute and that was the end of his stats, you know, where some guys, they have, you know, one good, you know, two good games back against crappy teams, and then, you know, the rest are subpar. So, but in 2020, he got hurt. He missed 12 of the 16 games, 12 and a half, because he got hurt in that Rams game. He wasn't producing like we wanted. He had, you know, three QB hits and 3.5 games. He didn't look great out there. But the season-ending shoulder injury is what hurt him. So, long story short, is I wouldn't be ready to push O'Shane Zimenez out of the door quite yet. Like, I would rather keep O'Shane over Carter Coughlin, you know, or Ryan Anderson, who, you know, I think it's clear I'm not the biggest fan of Ryan Anderson. Ryan, like, O'Shane Zimenez is a good talent. Like, I wouldn't give up on him quite yet. And, you know, Lorenzo Carter had those huge expectations on him year two, and he didn't quite live up to them. And year three, before the injury, we saw him start to blossom a little bit and kind of step into that role. Year three is important for these guys, and I wouldn't be so quick to just move on from O'Shane.
All right, well, let's go through it. Everybody is in love with Carter Coughlin. Everyone's in love with Lorenzo Carter in terms of how he started off his 2020 season. So in 2020, Lorenzo Carter saw 21% of the total defensive snaps. That's total from the season. Obviously, he missed most of the season with an injury, but when he was out there, he was getting like 90 to 60% of the snaps. But most of the time, he was getting like 90, 80, 70% of the snaps. Like, they really bumped up his usage. And Bobby, you know, I want to ask you a quick question before I continue with my point. Do you feel that there is such a thing, and I know this is a thing in baseball, like repetition, getting out there, and the more swings you take, the better you can feel. Is there such a point to when you have more reps and when you're given more reps, especially as a pass rusher, you get a better feel for the game, you get a better feel for your opponent, you get a better feel for your left tackle, right tackle, whoever you're going up against. Is there such a thing to that? Because then when you take somebody in and out of a game, could that mess with their rhythm?
Definitely. And especially at the edge where, you know what, you can have good numbers, but you really are judged by sacks. And it's like you never really get that chance to get in rhythm. And to your point, Lorenzo Carter, in the four games, 98%, 98%, 65%, 81% in the four games that he was fully healthy for.
Yeah, so they were using Lorenzo Carter, and I think that's partially why everyone was so kind of happy with his production. Well, when you're out on the field for 90% of the snaps, you're going to get the production. That's kind of why I want Leonard Williams to his snaps to increase this upcoming year. Because even if he's not as good as he was in 2020, he still has a chance, if he increases his snaps, for his total production in terms of his stat sheet to look just as good as the previous year. So, Bobby, you know, Lorenzo Carter saw 21% of the season's total defensive snaps. He had 7 pressures. And how many QB hits did he have? He had 7 pressures and 4 QB hits. O'Shane Zimenez saw 10% of the defensive snaps. Pretty much exactly half. He had 3 QB hits and 5 pressures. So he wasn't even that far off. In terms of, now that's such a low sample size, and it's like literally like 2 or 3 games. But O'Shane Zimenez, compared to Lorenzo Carter, he was getting 30, 40, 50% of the snaps. There was some, I'm pretty sure I have it right. I have it right in front of me. O'Shane Zimenez, in terms of his snap share, 41%, 29%, 58%, 33%. And in the only game that he did not register a quarterback hit was against Chicago, where he got 29% of the defensive snaps. So, you know, O'Shane was one of those guys that's like, dude, you're not getting in here. You're not getting the opportunity to really get your feet wet and get your reps in, but he still kind of produced pretty well considering the circumstances of 3 quarterback hits and 5 QB pressures. Who's to say that when Carter doesn't go down, Kyler Fackrell eventually goes down, that O'Shane Zimenez starts to get like 80% of the snaps? And who's to say that he doesn't put together a couple good games of a couple sacks, good QB hits, good pressures?
And O'Shane does need to get better too. Like, he didn't look great, you know, like he wasn't god awful, but he didn't look great, you know, and you know, every year there's a second year player where it's like there's expectations to make. It's usually like a third round player is going to make this huge jump. You know, Lorenzo Carter was once that guy. And then I think O'Shane Zimenez became that guy where it's like he needs to be the top pass rusher on the team. But I just want to say, like, Ellison Smith is a project. You know, I did the film breakdown on him, and his film is kind of underwhelming, you know, especially against Iowa State, who's D1, and then North Dakota State, where he was playing against Dylan Raidens. Like, if you ask me tomorrow, who do I want rushing the passer on 3rd and 6? I'm picking O'Shane Zimenez. Now, Ellison Smith is a project, is basically what I'm saying. And you know what? Like, O'Shane could miss, like, not make the team. You know, he wasn't drafted when Joe Judge was here, so he could be like the surprise cut. But I just would say, like, going into camp, I think he should have just as much a shot as anybody to play this. I think O'Shane should outplay Ryan Anderson, and Ryan Anderson, even though he was brought in as a free agent, should be cut. Like, that would be my goal. And if I was on the coaching staff, my hope would be like, hey, O'Shane Zimenez, outperform Ryan Anderson. We'll cut him. We'll make you a part of this team. We're not cutting Cam Brown because he's played special teams. Carter Coffin, we just drafted him. But outplay that guy and fill your role, because he isn't like the perfect scheme fit either for the Giants, where he is mostly just a pass rusher.
Yeah, I would hope they wouldn't cut Cam Brown to keep Ryan Anderson for special teams purposes, because, you know, you have Cam Brown here for 4 years cheap. You know, you have 3 years left of that rookie contract. So if they want to keep somebody for special teams, just go with the guy that's cheaper that you have here for more long term. Yeah, so all right, good. Well, no, I just wanted to say in terms of like drafting and value, you know, you have a guy here for 4 years, take advantage of it. Yeah, Bobby, they also could be looking at themselves saying, well, who would we rather give 30% of the snaps to as a situational pass rusher? Would we rather just let our fourth round rookie in there, like, go out there and develop, and maybe he'll make a flashy play every once in a while? Or do we want to let this third year guy in, who suffered a season long injury last year, and clearly the Giants didn't believe in him to get a substantial amount of reps in 2020. I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I mean, he was playing, though. It wasn't like he was Marcus Golden, where he was vanished to the bench. You know, it was Lorenzo Carter was the top guy, and then him and Kyler Fackrell were kind of splitting reps. And Marcus Golden was that clear-cut fourth guy.
Yeah, I mean, two game, it's crazy, because it's like one game on where he had over 20 snaps, and then the San Francisco game, he had over 40 snaps. But that's just because San Francisco ran so many freaking offensive plays that I think that's partially why he saw the field so much. But two games of 19 defensive snaps, I mean, that's tough.
What was one the fourth game?
Yes.
Well, he got injured in that game.
He got hurt.
So
he got hurt.
So I just, you know, O'Shane Zimenez was once the, you know, the sparkle in our eyes, that pass rush prospect. You know, I remember watching his college tape, and it was like, this guy is a lot of fun to watch, and he's not just picking, like, this isn't just him picking on bad offensive tackles. Like, this guy knows what he's doing, and he has potential. And he was drafted higher than, you know, Ellerson Smith, and I think rightfully so.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to talk about that, because we didn't really have much to talk about, and it's been on my mind of with Ellerson Smith, because Ellerson Smith is a big project, and he is new, so I get that. It's like, he's new. It's a lot more fun of what he can turn into, and yeah, I hope he does turn into that. But right now, I don't have expectations for Ellerson to play year one. Like, I really don't.
Yeah, and I think clearly, at least in the Pat Shurmur era, right? You know, Dave Gettleman has drafted, you know, Carter and Zimenez, but the way that the Giants coaching staff, at least in the past, has gone is we are going to develop these guys. And Dave Gettleman has always talked about, this even applies to Aziz, by the way, who's only 20 years old. Dave Gettleman always talks about the age of these guys. You know, the fact that, you know, they're coming out of school, they're not 22, 23, they're 20, 21. So you have to give them that extra year or two of time to develop. And whether you agree with that or not, in terms of evaluating players, is what the general manager thinks.
All right, Justin. So we're about to get into our undrafted free agents. Officially close the door on the 2021 draft. But, like, you know, the undrafted free agents aren't really keeping on coming. The hits literally keep on coming from one boxing event to the next. They grow in excitement and anticipation. And this weekend is no different, with two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping to the ring Saturday night. There is no better place to get in on all the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all new users a shot at turning $1 into $50. To celebrate this weekend's huge event, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering new users the opportunity to get 55-1 odds on either main event fighter to win this weekend's fight. That's bet $1, and if the fighter of your choice wins, you cash $55. Pretty simple, people. Plus, with basketball and hockey playoffs right around the corner, DraftKings Sportsbook has even more ways for you to make it rain. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and meaning you can deposit and withdraw your funds at convenience. Speaking of safe, have you been paying attention to this, like, Tom Wilson Rangers stuff?
No, I'm very confused as to exactly what's happening.
It's just Tom Wilson's like the dirtiest player in hockey. He bashed one of the Rangers' heads into the ice, and now they're playing like as we record. And I saw, you know, before we recorded, they started fighting,
and they just fired everybody.
Well, James Dolan put out a statement like saying that the head of safety for the NHL should be fired, and then the people who run the Rangers, I guess, we're like, hey, you know, we don't want to throw too many stones. You know, we get that we have to kind of have a working relationship. And because of that, James Dolan fired them. And then as soon as they started the hockey match, they had three fights at the middle. And then Tom Wilson came in. They had like five people in the penalty box all at once. It reminded me of when the Devils and Rangers, they all fought. As soon as the tip-off. The Devils and Rangers is an underrated rivalry. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code JOHNBOY when you sign up. For a limited time, all new users can bet $1 to win $55 on this weekend's main event. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is going all out for new users by offering them the chance to win $55 when placing a bet of $1 on this weekend's big fight. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana 1-800-9-WITH-IT. You ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
I don't know if I'm ready. Because once it's over, it's over.
Well, we're starting our 2022 draft process because we're so excited to have the first overall pick.
I really am. You know who I have my early eye on? Evan Neal, tackle out of Alabama. I'm so excited to watch him this year.
Via the Chicago Bears, not via the New York Football Giants.
Of course. So maybe we'll be taking Evan Neal. So, last year's undrafted free agent crop, we had the three wide receivers of Mac, Victor, and Dylan. Everyone had their favorite of those guys. We had Javon Leak, someone who had my mock draft running back. Kyle Marquay was like a fun tight end. Dominique Ross, we loved him out of UNC. We just love our UNC guys.
Oh, yes. I love Dominique Ross. How is he doing? I'm going to look him up.
Who's the cornerback? We even got like quoted in an article about him being like the guys that, you know, talking Giants, they say he's the best undrafted free agent in this class.
No, it was Dominique Ross.
That's what I said.
I know. You said who's the cornerback?
No, but who is the cornerback that I really? Christian Angulo, who he ended up going with the Colts once the Giants waived him. So a lot of fun, and even Sandro Blatzgummer kind of counted as one, even though he wasn't really one. Have you found out where Dominique Ross is so we could start?
I
don't think he made a team.
No, he did not.
Done. It's finito. All right. We're going to start it off on the defensive side of the ball. We're going Raymond. She calls me Raymond Johnson. Raymond Johnson, defensive end out of Georgia Southern. At his pro day, he was 6'2", 260 pounds. In 12 games in 2020, he had 35 tackles, 5 sacks, 13.5 tackles for a loss. Beautiful. Had pretty good production the years before that, but not that production that he had his senior year. Justin, the first thing you notice when you watch this guy are his hands. They are quick,
yep,
and they are violent. Like I have a bunch of timestamps. I'm gonna put together, you know, a clip of a look at Raymond Johnson's hands, how violent they are. His hands to use is beautiful. He's quick on the swipes, and they are powerful. He comes with a plan for every single rep. Raymond Johnson has a plan of attack. And he has multiple pass rush moves from the inside. Now, alignment-wise, what position is he? Because defensive end just saying that doesn't really have any nuance anymore. I view him that I think the Giants probably view Ifedi Onwenegbo, where he is that tweener. I don't think he's got the athleticism to be that stand up on the edge type player like an O'Shane Ziminis, but I don't think he's big enough to play what BJ Hill plays. So I do think he's going to be like a sub package, if he ends up making the team and playing, like hand in the ground on the edge. And then sometimes in a 3-4, you can put him at a 5. You use him in different ways, but he is kind of like that tweener type player. And so that's where I see him. Gets out of his stance quickly. I mean, he pounces out of his stance, dude. He's the most fun of these guys to watch. I mean, he's, yep. I think he's, you know, more fun to watch than, you know, the 6th round picks of Rodarius and Brightwell.
I have the same note that he is more fun and exciting than those two guys.
Yeah. Things that are the why he was an undrafted free agent. One, his pro day was bad. I think if he had a better pro day, he would have been drafted. And people were projecting to be drafted, but he had 19 bench press reps, a 4.69 shuttle, a 33-inch vertical, and then a 4.73 of 40. The 40 wasn't bad, but everything else wasn't very good for his position. Bad things. In open spaces, he's not good. There was multiple times where he had a great pass rush move, and he's running straight to QB, and the QB juked him pretty effortlessly. So making those tackles in the open space, that's where you can see like some of his athleticism.
Yep.
He can get high as the play goes on, where he initially comes out, pops quick. But if that doesn't, once his initial move doesn't work and a bigger offensive lineman get on him, he can kind of get stalemated out of the play. I really like this guy. I think if we would have drafted him in the 6th round, we would have been like good 6th round pick. I really do. Where, you know, Heggie and Burton, I wouldn't say that about those guys. You know, Heggie, like late 7th, you make sense of it. Burton, you're like, why did we pick this guy? Hate to spoil what I'm going to say about him. But Raymond Johnson, he's kind of exciting. The only thing that sucks, though, is like, how does he make his way onto the team eventually?
Yeah.
Because it's so crowded at those positions that he's at. So I do view him as like, I view all of these guys as a stash on the practice squad. We'll see how things play out in a year.
Yeah, Heggie's actually a guy that I'm like, oh, I think he has like the best chance to make the roster because of the position that he plays. And Raymond Johnson, even though I think he's the best player, it's a shame that he's in a crowded interior defensive line room. And I do agree. A lot of people have been saying edge online. I don't see it. I mean, because also he didn't line up as an edge at Georgia Southern. Now, Georgia Southern did once in a while use like stand-up edge rushers, but they never had Raymond Johnson doing that.
Yeah.
They never had him doing that. So, and I actually did find it to be interesting. I agree with all your positives. I'll get into some of them and how I worded them. And I also agree with a lot of your negatives too. I did find that they were taking him off the field from time to time. Now, whether that's just because, you know, they wanted a breather and they wanted a rotation, but also he's powerful that the initial point of attack, but he's not powerful throughout the rep. Like, you would think, especially for playing at a certain level of competition that he played at, I would want him to be more powerful. Like, give me a bull rush. You know, give me a bull rush where you're just, you know, going after, you know, rolling over a right tackle, left tackle, and then getting to the quarterback that way. Didn't see it that often. So in terms of some of his more advanced stats, so he had 307 pass rush reps in 2020, a total of 49 pressures, and if you're calculating that at home, that's a 15.9, 16% pressure rate, which out of all the edge rushers in this draft class, now you have to, you know that all these guys are playing in different conferences and whatnot, but 49 pressures was one of the most pressures that a pass rusher, edge rusher had in this draft class. So that's good for Raymond Johnson. He has the production. The Giants really like to, I will say, he was graded very positively by PFF too. And I'm not going to say what his grade is because we don't really like to talk about grades, but the Giants like guys that PFF grades well. Just saying. O'Shane was graded very well, came from that small school. Will Hernandez was graded very well, came from that small school. Ellerson Smith, I feel like, was graded well, came from a relatively small school, and add Raymond Johnson to that list too. Bobby, I think he gets skinny. Yeah. Sorry. So I'm just saying there's a correlation. Just saying there's a correlation. I think he gets skinny as a pass rusher, Bobby. I think he wins in a variety of ways, knows how to use his hands in the rip swim move, gets extension, gets hands off of him effectively as well. We talked about that with the Z's, how he just gets hands off of him very well. Fast off the ball, you talked about that. What's a point that I could talk? 4-year starter. I'm trying not to repeat what you said because I agree with what you said. 4-year starter. Giants love guys that have a lot of experience. So he's a 4-year starter, so he has that experience. Bobby, let's talk about roster chances. What is his chances of making the roster?
I think he's a guarantee for the practice squad. roster chances, it would have there have to be some serious injuries in camp, because he's a tweener, and I think that's what eventually holds him back and what kept him from being drafted, is because he's not that true blue defensive tackle, but he's also not like athletic enough to play on the edge. So that's the issue, is can he add that strength to play in that Ifedi at an Odenigbo role? Although the Giants may be playing some like 4-3 like reps, like it's I wouldn't be the most surprised with some of their players now with a guy like Ifedi. Ryan Anderson's played in that a little bit. He's not going to make the team initially. I would be blown away, because we talked about it with O'Shane Zimenez, that how that spot is crowded, the defensive line spot is crowded. I mean, Leonard Williams, Dexter Lawrence, Danny Shelton, B.J. Hill, Austin Johnson, and R.J. McIntosh would be the sixth guy. Which I'm gonna have to say bye to R.J. McIntosh this year. I just know it. Not high, but it's undrafted free agents. Really, their path usually is: you sit on a practice squad for a year, you might get called up in the end of the year, and year two is when it's like, can you do something in camp to stop us from cutting you and you being a player we don't want on the practice squad. So that's the goal for all undrafted free agents, regardless. That's the way it was for Victor Cruz. Nick Gates was injured, but that really is the path for all of these guys. There's going to be very few now year one of Dave Gettleman, there was a lot, because he just tore down the total, the whole roster. So you had guys like Tay Davis, making the initial roster and playing. Where now it's like, we said at the beginning, it's like we have, this is a full Dave Gettleman roster right now.
Yep.
Where it's like, he's not looking to just get rid of guys and giving, undrafted free agent guys chances over others because they're not his guys. So,
I have two more final notes.
I got a final note too.
My final note, in terms of his hand usage, I feel like he uses it just as well in the run game versus the pass game, where, we look at guys that have pass rushing moves. You agree with that. Thank you. So he uses his hands effectively in the run game, which you don't see a lot, because typically defensive linemen, pass rushers, edge rushers, whatever, guys can have either a pass rusher's mentality or be a little bit more conservative and have a run defense mentality. He's balanced in that regard, but we just want to see a little bit more power. And I watched Army Georgia Southern, because I figured that would be a fun game to watch, especially since I had questions about his power, and Army is all about power. Army had three pass attempts against Georgia Southern in the first three quarters, and Johnson had a pressure / QB hit on all three of them, which was fun.
That is pretty cool. There you go, Raymond Johnson. Here's something. You know who coached against him in their conference? Who played against him a couple of years?
Thinking of where the only non-SEC coach on our roster besides Pat Flaherty is Rob Sale.
Rob Sale, the Raging Cajuns. They went up against him. So Rob Sale might have a big part of it. Which, by the way, I went and looked at Jake Burton and Brett Heggie on Twitter. Rob Sale follows both of them on Twitter. Now, granted, he may be following them through this process, but hey, you know what? Maybe he recruited them. Maybe this is the Rob Sale bump in undrafted free agents. Maybe Rob Sale is just in charge of undrafted free agents. You're the only you decide. You've been in college the most recently. The small school guys. You get to do it. So, Raymond Johnson. Make a name for yourself, man.
Yeah.
We're not going to mention you much going forward until we do something in the preseason. Make a name for yourself.
That reaction video was pretty cool, by the way. The one that he put out when he got the call and the family freaked out. That was really cool.
He looks like a beast. So,
yeah.
Raymond Johnson, make a name for yourself. We're not going to talk about you much. Be a guy that, in camp when people are saying, wow, Raymond Johnson is actually making some plays against the guards. And then we'll panic about the guards when we read those tweets. But I will be positive and say, wow, Raymond Johnson coming along quick.
I want that training camp clip to go viral with him popping somebody.
Let's go, Raymond Johnson. Next on the list, Brett Heggie. Miss Peggy. Interior offensive line from the Florida Gators. Justin, I watched the Florida Gators play Georgia 8 times this year. There was one of the few college football games I just flat out watched. So I watched Kadarius Toney versus them. I watched Stone Forsythe. I watched Brett Heggie. And I watched Kyle Pitts. And I exclusively watch the Florida Gators offense versus the Georgia defense, because on the Georgia defense I watch Azeez Ojulari, Monty Rice, and Eric Stokes. So that's seven players I watched, and then just watching the game in total. I'm an expert at Kyle Trask at that point. I remember every single throw from that game.
All right, so you, according to YouTube, we should have taken Kyle Trask because Daniel Jones stinks. Do you agree?
Some people said that?
Oh, we had a YouTube comment. Yes, 100%.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow, good on that guy. Mm-hmm. I love – hey, believe in your takes. Brett Hagee, 6'4", 310 pounds, 31 career starts at UF in 2020. Mm-hmm. He had 12 at center in 2019. He had 12 at right guard and left guard, and then the same thing in 2018. Bad pro day. Bad pro day. Maybe that's what the Giants are doing. They're taking chances on guys who had bad pro days, even though Jake Burton did have a 4.9 40. He had a 5.5 40, a 26-inch vertical jump, and 21 bench press. Pretty bad. Tore his ACL in 2017. Here's what I'll say I like the most about Brett Hagee. He understands the position of center. He understands playing offense. His recognition of blitzes and stunts, it's like he sees it coming from a mile away. Where it's like, I'll be watching him, and it's like, he just stop blocking that guy and pass him off. Why'd he do that? It's like, oh, this player's stunning it off. I don't know if that's prep, or he just, some guys in play can do that, and he trusts his other players around him to, you know, to do the right thing. That is what really stuck out to me from Brett Hagee, was like, dude, this guy's ability to pick up blitzes and stunts is just next level. So that was pretty good. When he's not blocking anybody in the passing game, he likes to look for work and lay a hit. You know, I posted a couple of highlight clips of those. Those are always fun. Nick Gates likes to do that a lot. John Jalapio never did that. Spencer Pulley really never did that. Brett Hagee is somebody who does do that and finds work in pass pro. Here's where he struggles in pass pro. He clamps. His hands clamp. He needs to start shooting his hands inside. That really, if he could learn to do that, that's where he can, you know, where he can grow and have a chance at the NFL. He needs to shoot his hands inside, because what he's doing is he's snapping the ball and his hands are coming around like cymbals or syllables, as Justin would say. Yeah, cymbals, and guys are getting into his chest and he's losing bull rushes. You know, where Alabama, they bull rush him 3-4 times where he got right back into the QB's lap. If he could just shoot and win that initial, like that initial part of the rep, snap the ball, shoot his hands, get on the defensive tackle's chest, his feet are good enough to win reps. But when he doesn't do that, he allows himself to get bull rushed.
Yeah, I had the observation that he was a little bit more of a leaner. Like, he has, I think he's relatively powerful, but he just doesn't, like, get a little bit of extension, shoot, you know, get his hands inside the breastplate, right? I think he wins by leaning on guys a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you also have that observation?
I agree, but I will say, when you watch Jake Burton, you're like, hey, Brett Hagee doesn't lean that much. Jake Burton's getting slandered on this podcast, and I'm very sorry, Jake. So he does lean, but it's not too bad. You know, he has a little bit of waist spend, but it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, he has decent feet, you know, in the pass game. It's
I agree.
He needs to stop letting guys bull rush him like that. I really do think hand placement is more of an issue than anything for him. In the run game, he's a guy that's going to win with angles. Like, he's one of those guys that wins with angles. He's pretty good at getting to the second level. He's nothing crazy, you know. And he's not really going to move dudes. Like, he's not an earth mover in the run game. You know, he's not a, you know, let's double team this guy to linebacker. We're going to push his ass into the linebacker. Like, he wasn't a guy that did that. He's more of a, like, all right, let me get my hat in the right spot, and I'm going to try and win this with an angle. So
that's how I played.
Very good.
I was a big angle guy.
Angles.
And just wash a guy out. Hey, you want to go that way? The play's going that way. I'll just take you where you want to go. That's how I won.
And again, he's not going to blow people up. So Brett, some people swear by this guy, by the way. You look up some stuff and people are like, this guy is so underrated. I do think he has a much better chance than Jake Burton, but he is another guy where, you know, we have three vets as backups right now with Harrison, Fulton, and Solder. He is going to have to sit, learn for a year, get better at stuff, and then next year is when it's like, can Brett Hagee be the backup center to Nick Gates if we move on from a Jonathan Harrison?
Yeah, I put underrated toughness. I think he's pretty tough, Bobby.
He looks tough. You know, he looks like a fat Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. He does have a little bit more hair on his face and hair on his chin than he does on his head. Looked up his Instagram. He's always smiling. He's smiling a lot on his Instagram. I don't know if he's smiling a lot.
I need to look on his Instagram, but like just like I was watching press conferences of him, and he just looked like he's got that BAMF look.
Oh, good. Oh, you love Bobby's BAMFs. Is that ever going to be a thing that you bring back?
No, it's too corny.
It's too corny. I agree. That was pretty corny in 2019.
Yeah. Well, I only did it for a few weeks.
It would be a pretty good, like, if you ever rebranded it into something different, it would be like a good, like, YouTube video to just throw out on a Friday. It would be. Just saying. All right. Underrated toughness. I call them a big galoot. Do you know what a galoot is?
No.
Is this something that, like, my family just made up? Yes. I'm guessing because you're not paying attention to me. So
I don't know what a galoot, means. I'm looking at his Instagram, though.
So
I'm listening to you.
I hope 75% of the people that are listening to this know. But, you know, he's not, he doesn't move well. He just kind of rumbles. He's just a big galoot. There's no other way for me to kind of describe it. I think he's a very balanced player. I think if he gets in front of you and he kind of just gets a little stable on you, you know, you're not getting past him, you're not getting around him. I don't know. I definitely, in terms of his lateral movement, I'm not sure how well he is moving from side to side, but you know, he clamps down. I think he's pretty strong, and I'm excited. So, Bobby, here's like my overall observation here. Let's say Jonathan Harrison gets hurt in camp. I think Brett Hagee has a spot to making it to the 53.
I agree.
Because the center, if they're not going to have Shane Lemieux take center reps, right, then Brett Hagee has like the fast track to making the team. So
I agree.
That's his. I think out of all these guys that we have, undrafted free agents, like he has the best chance at making the final 53. Because even if a guard goes down, that could still mean something for him.
Right. Last year, the Giants, they carried 9 offensive linemen. You had the starters, Will Hernandez, Matt Pear as backup, Spencer Pulley as a backup. And then they brought up, Kyle Murphy and Chad Slade kind of were both those 9th guys. So, you know, right now we have our 5 starters, Zach Fulton, Jonathan Harrison, and Nate Solder as the backup 8. And then I think we'd all assume Kyle Murphy would be number 9. Chad Slade still is on the team, though, you know, which, by the way, like, Chad Slade's a homie. Like everybody on the offensive line loves him. They all hang out with him. It's like Nick Gates is hanging out with Chad Slade. Will Hernandez is hanging out. They all like Chad Slade. But playing that center position and being able to call out blitzes and stuff, that does give him a leg up on other guys.
Absolutely. Balanced football player.
Balance. Let's talk about the next guy. The last guy. Go.
I have breaking news first.
Oh, actually, read the ad.
I have breaking news first, Bobby Skinner. That's the sound effect that I'm putting in. Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. I don't think you're ready for this. Are you ready for this, Bobby Skinner?
Sure.
This is your pubic service announcement. And the news you've been all waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0. Let's give it a clap. Round of applause. Big announcement. 4.0, Lawnmower 4.0, which is now available today for purchase in the USA and Canada. We are sorry for our listeners out in Spain. We know we have a very big international presence. I'm sorry to Gazman, who's out, you know, in Europe as well. So I apologize. It's only available USA and Canada. Hopefully it will be available for you soon. The new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it to share the news with you. And basically, Lawnmower 4.0, how is it different with the Lawnmower 3.0? Well, I'm going to tell you. Their advanced ceramic blade skin-safe technology is so good, it's almost as if Manscaped worked with Elon Musk's engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. What makes the trimmer different than all other trimmers, you might ask? A new multifunction on-off switch engages a travel lock created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over an additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. That is different. The Lawnmower 3.0 does not have that. The Lawnmower 4.0 does. That is an upgrade. And looks-wise, it's sleek, two-toned matte and gloss finish. It even features a hot, full-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. I don't know if you want to be showing it off after you use it, though. I mean, that's kind of strange. Clean it. Optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof, of course, so you can groom and shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. It also has wireless charging, which I believe is also different. So it's awesome. That is all about the Lawnmower 4.0. You can use promo code GIANTS for 20% off this new product. Take advantage of it. It just dropped. Show it off to all your friends before you use it. And use promo code GIANTS to get 20% off and free shipping. Thank you, Manscaped, for allowing us to debut this new product.
Thank you, Manscaped. All right, let's finish off the draft season. Our last undrafted free agent, unless we get some other ones that trickle in. Jake Burton, offensive lineman from Baylor, but also UCLA. He's 6'6", 310 pounds. Came into UCLA as a defensive lineman, redshirted a year, and then switched to offensive line. Then he started 23 games at right tackle for UCLA. Then you mentioned with a grad transfer to Baylor and started 8 games at right guard. Now, a lot of times you see this guy who played tackle and then they put him at guard. And it's like, oh, guard is where he fits. It's a little easier for him. If he's going to play in the NFL, which I don't think will happen, he's going to have to play tackle. He's just going to have to play tackle. And why is that going to happen? His feet can be decent. And as a tackle, you know, in that pass pro, you know, not letting guys get around the edge. You know, he's not like, you know, speed doesn't kill him, although he does have some, like, really bad reps. And his hands are, like, good at repositioning and like, washing guys around. But when he's at guard or at tackle, his ability for his feet to, once he's locked on to mirror guys, is just bad, you know? Where it's like, guys are beating him. Like, it's just like, man, this should be an easy rep for you right here, and you're getting beat inside. Or, like, it's just... it's weird. Like, his feet, they don't mirror the player against him. It's kind of like, it's almost easy for them at times. You know, but it's like he can handle a bull rush, and it's like, you know, anchor down. I don't know why he doesn't do that more. So it's just his feet and mirroring are really bad. And I think he's just not strong either. You know, like I've never seen him move a guy. Now, I did clip one play of him pulling. And I do think he's a good athlete to pull, but he's just not going to move a dude besides that one clip that I posted where he laid out a DB. We talk about leaning. Jake Burton leans every play. He is the worst waistbender I may have ever seen. It's pretty bad. He doesn't get off the ball really quick. And even when he does lean, he doesn't move guys. So, you know, I really do hate being harsh on these undrafted free agent episodes, but Jake Burton just... there's way too many bad plays with Jake Burton, you know, and I just don't think he's going to make it.
He's got that Michael Jackson smooth criminal energy, doesn't he?
I don't know what that means.
Smooth criminal.
I know the song, but what does that mean?
Do you ever see the music video?
Oh, about leaning?
Yeah, like he's famous for like the whole do, 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 yeah. Do, do, do.
But Michael Jackson wasn't bending at the waist.
That was really funny, and you just, like, didn't get it.
I don't get, like, any of your jokes. I'm really bad at that stuff. But you don't get any of my references, so it evens out.
It's true. So it's almost like we're just talking at a brick wall.
It evens
sometimes
out.
When we just talk to each other. Oh, okay. Jake Burton. I'm going to compliment him a little bit more. I think he can move a little bit better than Heggie. In terms of, like, just movement.
He
like
can.
Lateral.
He's a better athlete than he is strong.
Yeah. Yes. So I think he can move a little better than Heggie. I mean, let me give him compliments while you just chat on him, okay? He does allow defenders, and as I say compliment, then now I have a butt. He does allow defenders to get to him and pass pro, I think, in terms of he doesn't initiate the contact, and then in terms of not being able to anchor down, I think that's a bad recipe for success. He's an effective puller. I think him being a good athlete, and also having positional versatility. I think that is some of the most endearing parts of him. He also played defensive line and tight end in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So he's literally done everything. And he also did a volleyball his senior year of high school because a couple of his friends were on the volleyball team and he thought it would help him become a better athlete. People at Baylor when the reason why he was able to play right away after he graduated from after he transferred from UCLA, it is because he graduated. He was a graduate transfer. He majored in political science. So, I majored in sociology, so maybe we can have some like nice conversations. Sure. And people at Baylor seem to really like him. He really got along with the rest of the offensive line room, and he seems to be like a down-to-earth guy. I read an article where he had some good quotes. And that's it. Cool.
Jake Burton. Love you, Jake. Great Burton. Guy. And that's our undrafted free agent. Can you hear the rain?
Yes, I actually can. That's coming down.
It's pouring rain right now in my office. So
I'm editing it out because I have the ability to do that.
Well,
but
well, good, good. I am very glad you're editing it out because it's freaking coming down right now. So, hey, we appreciate you. I know I did the whole thank you thing on the last episode, so I'll spare it for the undrafted. Our undrafted free agent people, they're sticking around with us for the summer. Next week, so we're going back to our regular Tuesday, Friday schedule. We should have a very good interview recapping the draft on Tuesday. That is the plan. And then Giant Stories will come back. I know the schedule's coming out, rookie camp, so we might do that on Friday. And then we should have another player interview, or not another, another interview who should be a player the following week. And I think we're gonna mix in a mailbag. We haven't done a mailbag in a few months, so we'll do that. I don't like when shows just mail it in, no pun intended. And they just do mailbags the whole offseason. But we will mix in a mailbag. We haven't done one in a long time. So we appreciate you guys. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your weekends. Get out in the sun. Get away from the draft talk for a little while. And let's go Big Blue.